chocolate, but you wound up with a Georgia peach and gave that prune to me.
I took you out for a bite to eat and we all ate our fill.
Too bad that you left your money home and I had to pay the bill.
Oh, double dating, double dating can be lots of fun, it's true. But you go your way
and you go your way,
my double dating days are through. I thought your gal wasn't bad at all. To me, she looked all right.
I thought she was a cutie too, till she turned on that light.
They seemed to get along real well, at least from what I saw.
But there's one thing I don't understand, your gal calling my gal ma.
Ooh, double dating, double dating can be lots of fun, it's true. But you go your way
and you go your way,
our double dating days are through. I met two new gals the other day, let's double date some more.
Just count me out, cause I'm wise to you and I'm tired of paying for four.
But I have such fun going out with you, so tell me, pal, what's wrong?
I'm taking off on my honeymoon and I don't need you alone.
Oh, double dating, double dating can be lots of fun, it's true. But you go your way
and you go your way,
my double dating days are through.
You mean this is the end?
This is the end.
Our double dating days are through.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO, Medford.
In recent years, a whole new pickup scene has evolved in metropolitan areas. I'm talking about the singles bar, the modern phenomenon that started in New York and L.A. and has spread to virtually every city and town in the country. Singles bars are not like other bars or restaurants. Don't kid yourself. Singles bars are for pickups. That's their sole function. Therefore, the ground rules for behavior are different in a singles bar, and you shouldn't try to pretend that they're not. Nobody, male or female, goes to a singles bar just for a drink. They go to meet someone of the opposite sex, and, if they like them, to score, right? Because a singles bar is a unique place, it requires a unique technique. The core of this technique is straightforward, assertive honesty. In a singles bar, the last thing you want to do is pussyfoot, pardon the expression, around. Paul is a guy who hits a singles bar every so often when he's looking to meet a new chick. Let's hear how he handles it.
Bartender, will you give me a ginger ale on the rocks, please?
You're laughing, right? Sounds like Paul's some kind of tenderfoot. If you think so, you've already forgotten the most important thing about singles bars. You're not in there to drink. Keeping in mind the importance of being direct, Paul moves straight to the girl he'd like to meet.
Oh, excuse me. I couldn't help noticing you, because you're the best-looking woman I've seen in here. I wonder if you might join me at a table where we could talk?
Now you think Paul's coming on too strong, right? Well, if he were working a beach or a regular bar, he would be. But here, he's refreshingly direct and to the point. The chick he's picked out, who's obviously wearing nothing but skin under her pink Angora sweater, has been chatting it up with a guy at the bar who hasn't made a single concrete proposal in 30 minutes. So listen to how she reacts to Paul.
Say, that's the best suggestion I've heard on that.
Good.
In fact, why don't we take that table over there in the corner where it'll be more private?
Now, how about that? This girl's making it easy, but why not? She's hanging out in this bar for one reason, and Paul's the first guy she's met who isn't pretending he just stopped in for a drink. To score, you have to play your hand straight, and that's what Paul continues to do. Listen.
I work in a management training program at the First Charter Bank, and I live in this neighborhood. I'm into water sports and beautiful girls, which is why I wanted to talk to you.
But I can't swim.
No, but you are beautiful. And I bet you work in an office, too.
Paul's giving her both information about himself and compliments about herself. And remember, even the most acclaimed beauty wants to be told that you think she's pretty. Paul's also right to guess that the chick is a professional or an office worker of some sort, because those are generally the type of chicks who hang out in singles bars.
You're right. I'm an assistant account exec at the agency right across the street from the First Charter Bank. But I don't like water sports.
Now she's testing Paul. He's come on nothing but strong, and she wants to be sure that he's not exclusively bullheaded. So she's challenging him to see how he handles it, whether he's a nice guy or a thug.
Well, there's nothing sacred about water sports, is there?
I don't know. Is there?
She's really pressing him for some kind of reaction. She's not going to let him off the hook. In her own way, she's being straight and direct. She wants some indication of how Paul feels about things. Paul senses this is important, that the success or failure of his pickup depends on how he handles this, so he proceeds carefully.
Hey, I was just trying to give you some idea of my interests. I don't want to force anything on you.
This is exactly what the chick wants to hear. Paul goes on.
Sailing, water skiing, those are my things. You don't have to dig them. You do your thing, I'll do mine. I just wanted you to know what my thing is.
That's cool, but now I'm embarrassed. I mean, I thought you might be this heavy macho guy, and I don't go for guys like that. So I made that up about not liking water sports. I was only testing you. I love water sports, particularly if you can play them in a bubble bath.
Can you believe that? Come on. Paul's pretty turned on now because he thinks he's got a live one, but he's still wary. He knows the experienced chicks in a singles bar really check a guy out before they'll trust him, and he suspects his come-on may be another test, so he pretends he missed her innuendo.
What else do you like to do when you're not working? Go to the opera? Read?
You're serious?
Yes, I'm curious about what really interests you.
That's far out. I haven't met a guy who's cared about that in a long time.
So tell me.
Well, you guessed it. I like to read Russian novels. Let me tell you about the Tolstoy novel I just finished.
Paul did it. He managed to separate the girl he wanted to pick up from the bevy of chicks at the bar, impress her with his own style, and then convince her that he was interested in her as a person in addition to just as a beautiful girl. Let's hear how their conversation winds down.
I sure have enjoyed talking to you.
Well, I've been pleasantly surprised myself.
But I really mean it. I've never met a guy in here before who cares about what I think.
I've never met anybody before who could tell me so much about Russian novels. I'm practically ready to go to Moscow.
Well, that's too far. Why don't we just go back to my place? I've got a few more things I want to tell you.
Bingo. A perfect score. Paul started out tough, played his cards out in the open, and then pulled back to give this girl time to get comfortable with him. He never forgot the reason she was in the singles bar, so he knew, no matter how much she talked about Russian novels, that in the back of her mind she was trying to decide if he was the guy for her. And by then, he was so genuinely interested in her as a person that her invitation to go home with him, when it came, was inevitable. Try it for yourself.
This is the story of a blind date. The lady was 30 minutes late. Now listen to the chatter as they go for a drink. First what they say politely, then exactly what they think.
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Look at his clothes, what a sight.
Oh, I don't mind a short wait.
Looks like I'm stuck for the night.
What'll we eat?
The steak, of course.
Let's have a seat.
He eats like a horse.
Stuck again on a blind date.
Here comes the band, shall we dance?
Moves her legs like two rocks.
Music gets me in a trance.
Keep off my feet, you big ox.
What'll you drink?
Champagne, my dear.
What do you think?
10-cent beer.
Out of luck on a blind date.
Then we went for a moonlit ride,
but only to be polite.
By accident, you found my lips.
You kept hugging and kissing,
and kissing and hugging and holding me tight. You better stop, it's so late.
I'll clonk him right on his dome.
Baby, your kisses are great.
Boy, am I glad we're near home.
Say you were swell.
See you, Jack.
You wouldn't tell.
My aching back.
Stuck again on a blind date.
Then quickly we went to the door.
But only to be polite.
And once again, you found my lips.
You kept hugging and kissing,
and kissing and hugging the rest of the night. Thank you again, here's the door.
This guy's getting off cheap.
Only a quarter past four.
Uh-oh, there goes all my sleep.
I'll see you when?
Why don't he leave?
Call me again.
Yeah, next New Year's Eve.
Good night.
What a character.
Good night.
What a character. Come to think of it, she didn't kiss too bad.
On second thought, he's a nice-looking lad.
I could have been nicer. I'm a dope.
Oh, I should have been sweeter. Now, no hope.
Holy smoke, she forgot her bag. You forgot your bag.
Thanks.
Tomorrow night at 8?
It's a date. I won't be late.
On one thing we'll both agree. No more blind dates for you.
Climbing up the ladder of love to find the one who waits for me.
Got the date with an angel, got to meet her at 7. Got a date with an angel, now I'm on my way to heaven. She's so lovely beside me, and whatever betide me, got an angel to guide me. So I'm on my way to heaven. Soon I'll hear the bells ring out, and the choir will sing out. When the pearly gates swing out, oh, she'll beckon to me. Now I've been waiting a lifetime for this evening at 7. Got a date with an angel. Now I'm on my way to heaven.
meet. Soft night, swiftly fleeting, smiling moon above. I like you, don't you know it? You like me, won't you show it? We are young, darling, so it's time for making love.
Still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. I hope our ambassador feel good did not depart tonight's program prior to that particular nervous. I'm really fond of that one. It's the harpsichord that does it, really, for me. Anyway, that was a lovely first part of the program. Now it's time for us to turn to the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days. Before we do it, we've got to remind you to think about your future and go to feedthepig.org. And then I got to thank Vince over at themusicsover.com for everything that he does. You know, everything. And the initial radio obituary tonight is for Eric Mulberg. I don't have a great obit written up for him, so I don't quite have this prepared yet. The initial radio obituary is for Eric Mulberg, friend and colleague of Belinda, Viking, free speech worker. He worked tirelessly at the local level in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and nationally in Washington, D.C. to help keep public access television alive across the country. Way back in the 70s, he wrote and acted in a local television show called Beyond Our Control, went on to be active on the boards of the Alliance for Community Media, nationally and in the Central States region. He was a jury member, even, in the International Festival of Local Televisions in Slovakia and participated in the local televisions in the Netherlands. He created and produced documentaries, helped others create television programs, and eventually created WELT-FM 95.7 LPFM radio. And I was lucky enough to get to help him in that process. He was one of those people that I worked with through all of the jobs that I had over about a, 15-year, 20-year period. Worked with him a lot. One of my favorite people that I ever got to work with. Never had a job in the same location with him, but we worked together in all the different types of jobs I did. I was really lucky to get to do that. Eric Mulberg just passed away at 57. It's our initial radio obituary just for him, right here. Oh, I can't believe I'm playing this. Just for him, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
your lips. Sin thrills through your fingertips.
Should sharks like me tagging along. I know that when I sing their song, I'll get the words wrong. We, the undervalued, led by the unknowing, performing the impossible for the ungrateful. We, the undervalued, led by the unknowing, performing the impossible for the ungrateful. Sculptures in a landfill, yeah.
Gick på stan häromdagen för att shoppa. Plötsligt började mitt hjärta att hoppa. Ja, det slog, men jag förstod hur det kom sig. Den jag hade kär, hon stod ju där mitt emot mig. Puss och kram var det jag fick, hon sa det skulle räcka. Flera i nästa vecka. Hoppas hon dubblar dosen den gången, för att vara säker på att hålla mig fången. Veckan gick och jag fick vad hon lovat, med en tre träff nästa fredag. Ja, med flickan är det ordning och reda. Puss och kram var det jag fick, hon sa det skulle räcka. Kanske skulle det bli flera i nästa vecka. Hoppas hon dubblar dosen den gången, för att vara säker. Det är 5 veckor sedan detta hände, och på pussar och kram blir ingen ände. Så hon sa, du måste ta mig till prästen, så vi får lite mera ordning på resten. Puss och kram, det har blivit stup i kvarten sedan.
The post-initial radio obituary is for Martin Landau, the American actor of stage, television, and film. He was a vocal artist, editorial cartoonist, and comic strip producer as well. His career began back in the 1950s, and his early film appearances included a supporting role in North by Northwest by Alfred Hitchcock in 1959. He also had a couple regular TV roles, Mission Impossible and Space 1999. Martin Landau just passed away at 89. It's the post-initial radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
My dear Professor Strausky, 20 years ago, I was banned from my homeland. I was classed as a madman, a charlatan, outlawed in the world of science, which previously honored me as a genius. Now, here, in this forsaken jungle hell, I have proven that I am all right. Home. I have no home. Hunted. Despised. Living like an animal. The jungle is my home. But I shall show the world that I can be its master. I shall perfect my own race of people. A race of atomic supermen that will conquer the world.
The next radio obituary is for Regis Gajavo. I believe that's what it is. Gajavo. Regis Gajavo. He was an accordionist from Madagascar. In 1990, he won the Radio France Internationale. Regis Gajavo just passed away at 58. It's the next radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Have prefiero pensar rica, mamá, mamá, chiririra, marir un extranjero, ya era ya si prefiero.
Cleanup Radio Obituary is for Thora Lindsay, the longtime fixture of Portland, Oregon's independent music scene. When he got to Portland in the late 70s, he opened up a record store, Singles Going Steady, in the downtown area. And then in the 80s, he co-founded Tim Kerr Records with its namesake, initially to release a set of spoken word pieces by William Burroughs featuring Gus Van Sant. The label went on to release debut albums by the Dandy Warhols and Neverclear, plus recordings by Poison Idea, The Wipers, and Pirubu, among others. Thor Lindsay just passed away at 59. It's the Cleanup Radio Obituary right here with what was their biggest release on Tim Kerr Records, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Tuberculosis, folks. Christmas Eve, an old junkie selling Christmas seals on North Park Street. The priest, they called him. Fight tuberculosis, folks. People hurried by, gray shadows on a distant wall. It was getting late, no money to score. He turned into a side street and the lake wind hit him like a knife. Cab stopped just ahead under a streetlight. Boy got out with a suitcase. Thin kid in prep school clothes, familiar face, the priest told himself. Watching from the doorway, reminds me of something a long time ago. The boy there with his overcoat unbuttoned, reaching into his pants pocket for the cab fare. The cab drove away and turned the corner. The boy went inside a building. Yes, maybe. The suitcase was there in the doorway. The boy nowhere in sight. Gone to get the keys, most likely. Have to move fast. He picked up the suitcase and started for the corner. Made it, glanced down at the case. didn't look like the case the boy had or any boy would have. Priest couldn't put his finger on what was so old about the case. Old and dirty, poor quality leather, and heavy. Better see what's inside. He turned into Lincoln Park, found an empty place, and opened the gates. Two severed human legs that belonged to a young man with dark skin. Shiny black leg hairs glittered in the dim streetlight. The legs had been forced into the case, and he had to use his knee on the back of the case to shove them out. Legs yet, he said. I walked quickly away with the case. Might bring a few dollars to score. The buyer sniffed suspiciously. Kind of funny smell about it. Is this Mexican leather? He shrugged. Well, some joker didn't cure it. The buyer looked at the case with cold disfavor. Not even right sure he killed it, whatever it is. Three is the best I can do, and it hurts. But since this is Christmas and you're the priest... He slipped three notes under the table into the priest's dirty hand. Priest faded into the street shadow, seedy and furtive. 3 cents didn't buy a bag, nothing less than a nickel. Say, remember that old Auntie Coker told me not to come back unless I paid him the 3 cents I owe? Isn't that a fruit for you, blowy stack, about 3 lousy cents? The doctor was not pleased to see him. Now, what do you want? I told you. The priest laid 3 bills on the table. The doctor put the money in his pocket and started to scream. I've had trouble. People have been around. I may lose my license. The priest just sat there, eyes old and heavy with years of junk on the doctor's face. I can't write you a prescription. The doctor jerked open a drawer and slid an ampule across the table. That's all I have in the office. The doctor stood up. Take it and get out, he screamed. Hysterical. Priest's expression did not change. The doctor added in quieter tones. After all, I'm a professional man, and I shouldn't be bothered by people like you. Is that all you have for me? 1 lousy quarter G? Couldn't you lend me a nickel? Get out, get out! I'll call the police, I tell you. All right, doctor, I'm going. Christ, it was cold and far to walk. Rooming house, a shabby street, room on the top floor. These stairs off. The priest there pulling himself up along the banister. He went into the bathroom. Yellow wall panels, toilet dripping, and got his work from under the wash basin. Wrapped in brown paper, back to his room, get every drop in the dropper. He rolled up his sleeve. Then he heard a groan from next door, room 18. A Mexican kid lived there. The priest had passed him on the stairs and saw the kid was hooked. But he never spoke because he didn't want any juvenile connections, bad news in any language. And the priest had had enough bad news in his life. Heard the groan again, a groan he could feel. No mistaking that groan and what it meant. Maybe he had an accident or something. In any case, I can't enjoy my priestly medications with that sound coming through the wall. Thin walls, you understand. The priest put down his dropper, cold hall, and knocked on the door of room 18. ¿Quién es? It's the priest, kid. I live next door. You could hear someone hobbling across the floor. A bolt slid. The boy stood there in his underwear, shorts, eyes black with pain. He started to fall. The priest helped him over to the bed. What's wrong, son?
It's my legs, senor, cramps, and now I am without medicine. The priest could see the cramps, like knots of wood there on the young, lean legs, dark, shiny black leg hair. 3 years ago, I damaged myself in a bicycle race, and it is then that the cramps start. And he has the leg cramps back with compound junk interest. The old priest stood there, feeling the boy groan. He inclined his head as if in prayer, went back and got his dropper. It's just a quarter J, kid. I do not require much, senor. The boy was sleeping when the priest left room 18. He went back to his room and sat down on the bed. Then it hit him like heavy, silent snow. All the gray junk yesterday's. He sat there and received the immaculate fix. And since he was himself a priest, there was no need to call one.
The radio obituary for Jeff Mack, the country singer-songwriter who wrote I've Been Everywhere. It was originally an Australian hit for Lucky Star in 1962, but later became a popular hit in the U.S. when it was adapted for Hank Snow later the same year. After that, more than 130 cover versions were recorded of the tune. Jeff Mack just passed away at 94. It's a radio obituary just for him right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high canvas cover load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man. And I've breathed the mountain air, man. And of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Then to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Matama, Lapalona, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, Lampadilla, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man. And I breathe the mountain air, man. And of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texarkana, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallahatchie, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Arkansas, Tennessee, Hennessy, Chesapeake, Spirit Lake, Rattle Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, Pete's Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man. And I've breathed the mountain air, man. And I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Clarksville, Knoxville, Omaha, Buckshotville, Jacksville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Screepaw, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jalapa, Argentina, Downfina, Pasadena, Catalina, see what I mean, sir? Pittsburgh, Parkerburg, Brownsburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Ricksburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larmont, Altamont, Half-Stroke, Chattanooga, Chaska, Nebraska, Alaska, Oklahoma, Caribou, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man. And I've breathed the mountain air, man. And I've traveled, I've had my share, man.
I know some place you haven't been.
Well, I've been everywhere.
And now the radio obituary for Chester Bennington, the American singer and songwriter best known as the frontman for the rock band Linkin Park. He was also the lead singer for Dead by Sunrise and fronted the Stone Temple Pilots from 2003 to 2015. Chester Bennington just passed away at 41. It's his radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Guess what? It's the Weasel Radio Obituary for George Romero. The American-Canadian filmmaker, writer, and editor, best known for his series of gruesome and satirical horror films about an imagined zombie apocalypse, beginning with Night of the Living Dead from 1968, often considered the progenitor of the fictional zombie of the modern culture. He also had Dawn of the Dead in 78, Day of the Dead in 85. Also, don't forget The Crazies in 73, Martin, 1978,